If you could think of one thing you'd like to see happen in your marriage over these summer months, one thing to build more intimacy or closeness or resolve a problem or move you forward, what would that one thing be? I'd love to hear. Hey, Dr. Randy here from Intentional Living. We've got callers already set for this best of program today. However, we would welcome your calls live to our comment line where you can leave your one thing. We'd love to hear it. In fact, so much so, I just want you to know when you share, maybe your one thing will show up on a future program. Give us a call, 888-888-1717, 888-888-1717. Tell us what is your one thing that you'd like to see happen in your marriage over these summer months ahead. You know, we're here at the Intentional Living Center today, and our passion is helping you figure out what pleases Christ and then do it. And the Bible has a lot to say about marriage. Of course, it has to do with love, forgiveness, communication, about understanding our roles and responsibility, and intimacy and closeness. And today you're going to get a whole lot of encouragement about your marriage. So again, if you have a one thing challenge or if you have a question you want to leave in our comment line, do so. 888-888-1717.
I'm a lady that's just about ready to turn 60 years old. I've been married for 40 years and I have gone through every stage of marriage that you can have. My husband and I, at one time, I think, did not love each other at all. We started out loving each other, then we went to not loving each other, and now we are at a stage in our lives where we love each other so much and are so good to each other. And we have two daughters, and we have seven grandchildren, and I'm telling you, it's worth the work, but you've got to both put the work together and get through it.
It's true.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. Thank you for calling. That's so true. And what she reminds us is there are seasons. If you're married, you know there are seasons. There are seasons when it's a little snowy and cold and drifty, and there are seasons when it's springtime and things are growing and blossoming and blooming and kind of refreshing and positive. And then there's summer where you got to weed. You know, you got to take care of the garden and you got to pull the weeds. And then the fall comes and you get the harvest. And I think that picture, I think God allows us to be in seasons. I mean, why else? He didn't have to. I mean, he created us in an environment on a planet that goes through these four seasons. I think it's a life lesson for us about life. Even Ecclesiastes 3 tells us. So you may be on the up season, or you may be in wintry season of your marriage. Wherever you are, it's okay. God's there with you. He's sovereign over today. Let me get to the calls. We got them backed up here on marriage. Let's go. Begin with Richard in New Mexico. Richard, welcome to the program.
Yes, thank you, Doctor.
Appreciate your call. What's your question?
My question is, how can I spread encouragement to my wife who is, I feel she fell out of love with me, and we've been married 39 years, and she talks about going her separate ways. And I tell her that the scripture says the believer is not to leave, but you're free to leave if you want, because I'm supposed to wish you the best.
Well,
so how do I deal with her negative attitude?
Here are a couple of things here, Richard. One is you're saying your wife is saying she wants to split, she wants to go a different way. You're saying, asking the question, how can I encourage her? Why does she want to split? If she were to say it in one word, what would it be?
What was the question?
Yeah, why does she want to leave?
I think she fell out of love with me. She's tired of the constant everyday struggles to make ends meet. We just got two grandchildren in the house, and they wear her down. And the son that is the father of the two kids is very negative himself. He smokes pot, and he just...
Well, she's
our lifestyle.
And did this begin to go downhill after the grandchildren came into the home?
No, it's been going downhill for 5 or 6 years.
Yeah, okay. Well, Richard, I'll tell you what. I mean, obviously, you're going to hear me say seek counseling, talk to someone. And the reason I say that is because when you get stuck, you need someone to get a jump start to get you talking and moving in the right direction. But what happens in marriages so often, it happens in all marriages, I just talked about seasons, where if we don't get back on the same page and we don't start talking about things that are important and where we're headed and so on, it's easy to start to drift and then to get worn out and then to get weary. And the Bible talks about what happens when we get weary. When we get weary, we can do dumb things. We see that in even great characters of Scripture when they're spiritually, emotionally, and physically weary. So, practical thing. Get your wife, get someone to take care of the grandkids. You and the two of you get away. I don't know where that is, but get away. Spend some time together. Talk together. See if you can at least agree that, hey, we need to work on making this marriage what God intends for it to be. Don't preach at her. Don't tell her what she has to do. Just love her. The best thing you can do is show love to her in your actions. Okay, thank you, Richard. Let me go to Tina in Michigan with a question today. What is that question, Tina?
Well, I have been separated from my husband since the beginning of May of last year, and I'm really working on restoration, but he doesn't seem to want that. We separated because of some issues going on, and since then there's been, you know, he's been going out with some people, and I saw something on Facebook. I'm not friends with him, but anyway, I just wonder, is there a time when only one person is willing that you, you know, cut loose from it, or if you just keep, I mean, I know God can do anything. It's just if he's not willing, I don't know what to do.
Well, when you say he's unwilling, have you had any sessions together? Have you had any plan of action?
We went to counseling before we separated, but he was going out and he stayed out all night and never let me know where he was. And I told him, well, maybe we need a break to work on this. And we've seen each other. We see each other here and there.
Is he involved? When you say he's like, going out, is he involved with another woman? Is that what's going on?
Well, I can't say for sure. I just know he went out with another woman. I don't know how much more than that it was, but as friends or whatever, I'm not okay with that. That's not something I would do. But you know, I just don't know.
What was the issue? Why did you guys really separate? Was there one core issue?
Not well, communication's a lot of it, I'm sure. This is a second marriage, and I had said I would never get married again. I met him. He was going to church, and I thought we had the same values, and I don't think that we did. And we just don't, we don't talk well and communicate well. And when he started going out and being gone overnight and not wanting to tell me, you know, while I was with my friends, and I just, you know, that's when I said, you know, we need a break. And I've been studying and I've been I have a mentor. I've been, you know, and I just don't know when, because I've been trying to study on, you know, a godly wife and all those things. And I've been patient. I just don't, you know.
Well, Tina, listen, I hear your heart. You want to do the right thing. You want to honor God. And you know that it takes two to make a marriage work. And when you don't know what's happening and we're not even talking about it, then that's even more difficult because we're not even getting to the core issues that need to be dealt with. I think there's a time in a relationship when we maybe are separated and maybe the lifestyle of one person is such you don't know what's going on. They're not willing to talk. They're not willing to address it. There's a point where it's appropriate to say, we're gonna bring this thing like a flat tire off the road until we get it fixed. We're gonna stop whatever we're doing that's not working and bring it to a head so we can at least address where are we and what direction we're taking. That can take different forms, Tina. And in the midst of that, there's much prayer and in your own life and the decisions you make about how you live, that you have great accountability. But in relationships that just, you know, get off the trail and then you don't know what's happened, they're lost in the woods, there's a point where you need to get it back, you know, to a place where you can talk. Hang on for a minute, Tina. I'm going to have Sally catch your address. I'd like to send you a copy of my book, Starve for Affection, okay?
Okay.
And yeah, I'd like to have you read it because I talk in there some chapters about what do you do when you get to these really difficult spots in marriage. Okay, I'll be back with some more calls here in just a minute. We're talking marriage. It's live, 888-1717. This is real life. This is intentional living. Your life matters. Don't waste it. Don't waste today. Have godly goals. that you focus on repeat actions into habits, get rid of the junk in your life, eliminate some of those things. We're not talking perfection. We're not talking about having good work so God will love you better. We're just saying use the sense that God's given you, your head, your heart, and your hand, to enthusiastically pursue that one goal today that God has given you for your marriage. What one thing could you pursue in the next 30 days in your own life that would make the biggest difference? Talking marriage, more in just a second.
Well, the way that we have made our marriage last 20 years is intentional commitment to our marriage and to our Father above, who gave us one another, and takes a lot of prayer and dedication and intentional commitment to one another and with God.
Hello. To be intentional in my marriage, we have put Christ first in our relationship. We listen to Christian radio together and discuss what we listen to, and we do the Bible study nightlight just before we go to bed at night. Those are ways I am intentional in my marriage.
Hi, I'm calling to explain how my marriage has gotten better. I'm going to a Bible study that is a Titus 2 Bible study, where the older women teach the younger women how to love their husbands by respecting them. And it's interesting that we all need to be taught. It doesn't come naturally. My name is Sheila from Phoenix, Arizona. Thank you.
Very true. And, you know, you listen to each of those stories, they're all people who are action-oriented. They're not passive. They're not waiting. They're not laying back, not hiding under the, you know, their covers. They're active in their spiritual growth and learning and being around people, encouraging them, taking action. Very positive thing. When we wait on the Lord, you know, the Bible talks about waiting on Him. We're waiting on Him to move, but that doesn't mean that we don't continue to grow and become the person more and more every day that God intends for us to be. Great balancing act, isn't it? Okay, let me see here. Let me move to Ann. Ann is listening in Michigan today. Hi, Ann.
Hi.
Appreciate your call. What's your question today?
Well, I just wanted to know if you could give me a little bit of insight as far as spiritually. I am a Catholic, and my husband is not, and we've been married almost 32 years, and I just don't feel like we're on the same page spiritually, uh-huh. and don't know how to get there with his resistance to going to church with me or participating. So that's, I guess, my question. Mm-hmm. Where would you start with that?
Well, Ann, it's a universal question. It's one we've gotten for 30 years of ministry when we're not on the same page spiritually. I always give the same answer. First of all, making sure that personally, that you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, deeply rooted in Scripture, and it's not connected to a church or a denomination so much as it is a relationship with Jesus Christ. But then when our spouse is not on the same page spiritually, we have what the Bible refers to as not being equally yoked together. It's a picture of two oxen not in the harness pulling in the same direction. And when we're not doing that spiritually, that's a huge thing. Now, you want to know what the Bible teaches about when you're not equally yoked. What's a biblical mm-hmm. response? Well, 1 Corinthians chapter 7 does address this. It talks about the principles of marriage for a believer. And the Apostle Paul says to the married, I command, yet not I, but the Lord, a wife is not to depart from her husband, but even if she does depart, let her remain unmarried or be reconciled to her husband. And a woman to her, and vice versa. For the unbelieving husband, it says here, a woman who has a husband who does not believe, verse 13, if he's willing to live with her, let her not divorce him. For the unbelieving husband is sanctified, meaning set apart by the wife, and the unbelieving wife is sanctified by the husband. Otherwise, your children would be unclean. But if the unbeliever departs, let him depart. A brother or sister is not under bondage in such cases, but God has called us to peace. There's much there. We could preach a whole conference, and we can talk about what all that means. But in summary, just because we're unequally yoked doesn't say, hey, you need to divorce and move on. In fact, the scripture says if they're willing to stay together, stay together. But it also says in other places in scripture for the believing person, in your case, Anne, as a follower of Christ, you have an added responsibility to live your life as a Christian before your husband, that he would see your good works, as the scripture said, and glorify God who lives in you. In other words, from a biblical standpoint, not being equally yoked is not the, the basis for divorcing or leaving each other. However, it creates a great deal of frustration, and it sounds that's where you are right now.
Mm-hmm.
What's your greatest frustration with all this?
Well, I guess I think of, you know, we're not getting any younger, and at some point, if we're not on the same page, I guess that kind of concerns me for eternity. And, you know, I'm not saying that he's not a believer. He just wouldn't go to church with me if I would ask him to, or we don't pray together. And I know I've heard that phrase before, a family that stays together, prays together, and we've made it work this far, but I guess I just would like to see some change in that respect.
Well, you speak for millions of women and men around the country who are married to a spouse who is not on the same page spiritually. Bottom line, I'd encourage you to pray for your husband. I just love him to death. I just love on him. You could be the instrument of spiritual revival in his life. But make sure you're growing spiritually. Make sure you're deeply rooted in the Bible and Scripture and allowing God's Word to penetrate your life. Be in a group with other women who can encourage you. But just let your life so grow spiritually that you become so attractive to him spiritually that he's saying, boy, my wife, that, you know, she's got something I don't have, I wish I had. That's a powerful thing. Here's one essential to help make your marriage work. I am Dr. Randy Carlson with an Intentional Living Minute. The secret is to commit freely to one another. In other words, live up to your vows. Be committed to each other and to the Lord, certainly. And be committed to working through any issues that arise from day to day. The scripture is clear that we're not to let the sun go down upon our wrath. In other words, keeping short accounts even before we go to sleep at night. And if you need help, find help. Find someone to talk to. And then certainly eliminate the thought of divorce as an option. As long as we keep that backdoor option available, it's easy to turn in that direction. The scripture says in Psalm 37, commit everything you do to the Lord. Trust Him and He will help you. That's a great verse. That is intentional living.
Visit us at theintentionallife.com.
Talk a little bit about your marriage. How long you been married? How'd you meet?
16 years this year, actually. And so my wife was the marketing director for the record label that we signed with in Nashville. Oh. And so I got to know her.
Now you get free marketing?
Yeah, absolutely, right? That's right. You know, she's so amazing. I thought she was the prettiest girl that I'd ever seen, you know? And I instantly knew because of my insecurity, I didn't have a shot with her at all, right? And it was so neat how we got to work together. I even kind of put out the feeler like, would you ever date a Christian artist? And she answered, no, I would never date a Christian artist, you know? But the Lord allowed her to see my heart, and the Lord allowed her to see who I really am, even beyond the way that I look or the way that I feel about myself or any of those things. And God's grace, man, brought her into my life. I've been married 16 years. I'm telling you, it just keeps getting better and better every year.
That's Big Daddy Weave, Mike Weaver, 16 years of marriage. And we're looking forward to being a part of the upcoming Intentional Living cruise to Alaska together. He and his wife, Candace, my wife, Don, and I, Evan Carlson, our ministry president, and his wife, Kelly. Got a great week planned. We're going to have a lot of fun, enjoy a lot of things, but mostly enjoying God's creation, each other's fellowship, stopping at some beautiful ports, having a vacation with a purpose, and sharing a little bit about the power of intentional living with a lot of encouragement for you. And we're getting down to the wire now, just a little over a month to go. If you haven't registered to get that cabin, I encourage you to do so. Last minute, you can do it. Make it a good time for you and your spouse. Singles are coming. We got families coming. Again, just go to theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com for all the information on the cruise to Alaska coming June 12 through 19. Going to be a great week. You know, today we're talking about marriage. Marriage can be tough, especially everything that's been going on in the world today. There's a lot of stress financially, relationally, in intimacy, in communication, resolving problems, and all the social issues in our culture today. Now more than ever, we need to be intentional in our relationships with each other, and especially starting in our home and with our marriage. And it begins today by being intentional and letting your spouse know how much you love and appreciate him. There's one thing for you from Intentional Living for today.
This is Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible by the generous support of our listeners. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio. Randy.
Thank you, Kurt. Line's been very busy today as we open the lines for marriage. Live here in our Intentional Living studio today, talking about marriage, the power of marriage. And at the beginning of the program, I was going over, you know, why is intentional living, what is intentional living, and what we believe. And one of the things that we believe is we believe that your marriage matters. You know, when your marriage is hurting, you hurt. You hurt in the very fabric of your being. Concern for yourself, your kids, your spouse, for your spirit. And God has something better for you. And too many of us live either an unintentional life or a good intentioned life. And intentional living simply is knowing what pleases Christ and then choosing to do that. But that requires us to get into His Word, understand what the Bible teaches, and then take the action every day to live in a way that we know will bring glory to God and benefit to ourselves. Now, there's a lot of words there, but when you dissect those words, they are transformational. It comes down to capturing a goal that matters, repeating daily actions until they become habits, getting rid of the junk in your life that keeps you from living intentionally. And boy, that's a whole topic in itself. And then enthusiastically pursuing that one goal every day to bring glory to God. Okay, we got time for a couple more calls if I keep moving here. Keith is in Michigan. Welcome, Keith, to the program.
Thank you. It's actually the first time I've heard it, and I'm actually on the road, so it kind of came at a good time, and it's kind of the way God's been working in my life lately.
Well, good. I'm glad you caught it, and no accidents here. That's for sure.
Yeah, I pulled over, so that's good.
Well, both ways. That physical accidents, but God doesn't make accidents either when it comes to having you tune in today. What's your question?
Oh, yeah, I believe that for sure. And actually, that brings me to my question. With a little bit of backstory, I won't take too much time, but I just recently got married in July, and my wife is Christian. I'm Catholic and raised Catholic, and there are some things that fed off from her to me that made me hunger more for what she had. And so I became, I guess you can say, I reestablished a walk with Jesus in a different way than I ever have before.
Good.
And in doing so, I still have had worldly thoughts or thinking, and it had basically put a bump in the road in our marriage. Mm-hmm. To the point where she had admitted she had a very large disconnect with me. And for the last 2 months, basically, there has been nothing between us at all as far as intimacy or affection. And she had been started seeing a counselor after she recognized certain things happening. And I decided more recently to begin visiting with my pastor of the new church I'm attending, which is actually her church. And in doing so, I've been praying heavily about this, and last weekend was probably the biggest spark of hope I've had about our relationship, because there was even talks about us not dragging it on for the kids, and, you know, maybe it's...
You've been married since how long, Keith? When did you get married?
Since July.
All right. This is brand new. You guys are in an adjustment. If there's kids, obviously there's second marriage, it sounds like, and an adjustment. And there's huge adjustments when people try to put families together, and in your case, growing spiritually and trying to figure out where you're going to be on the same page or not. I wish your wife were on the phone with me, with us, because I would say, hey, listen, you know what the two of you need to do is to get into that deep counseling together now, 6 months in, and saying, hey, stuff didn't work so well. this is what we need to resolve. Let's get the stuff on the table. Let's open up our hearts to each other. Let's begin in a new direction, and let's have a revival, if you please, 180 degrees, something new for our marriage, and then take it one step at a time. And I just wouldn't throw the towel in. I think the two of you need to really work on this. Hang on, Keith. I'm glad you're a new listener. I want to send you my book, Starved for Affection. Read it. Maybe even read it together and talk about it. I think it could be helpful for you. It's certainly very intentional. In the book of Joshua, chapter 1, also in Hebrews 13, we're reminded that God says, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. That's a powerful thing. Some of you have been abandoned in life. You've been rejected by people. People have let you down. One of the things that we try to remind ourselves and listeners every day is that your relationship with God is eternal. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. Boy, that is so true. You know, this month, my lesson, that's an excerpt from it, by the way, is on the topic of resiliency. I've never done a lesson on resiliency, spiritual resiliency. But resiliency is at the core of who we are. It's like elastic. You know, you pull it and it will pop back into shape. Now, in life, sometimes you pull it, you go through some tough times, you don't pop back right into shape. But you know what? You pop back to the core values that you hang on to. And as a Christian, we're building resiliency by prayer, by fellowship, by being with others. This month, I put a lesson together called Resiliency. It's really about your life, about your relationships, about your spiritual life. And so members, watch for it. It'll be coming out to you here very shortly, both an audio and visual and video copy for you. We'd love to get it into your hands. But also we have for everybody today who's sharing a gift to help us during this month of May. Boy, do we need your help. This is a listener-supported ministry. I want to make available to you the ebook and audiobook called Your Salvation is Assured, Establishing a Firm Foundation for your relationship with God. It's brand new, and I wrote this in concert with our team to give you something that will encourage you on your journey, remind you of the power of being a child of God, and that our salvation is assured in Him. It's not something that is transient. If you've given your life and heart to Christ, He's your Heavenly Father. And you'll find this ebook and audiobook very encouraging. So as you share a gift with the Ministry of Intentional Living today, we'll make sure this gets to you ASAP. All you need to do is go to theintentionallife.com, theintentionallife.com. Click on that donate button, that icon, and then come and join us. Be a part of the ministry. Your gift allows us to be generous in sharing the good news to people around the world. Thanks for joining us today. Be strong in your marriage. Trust God and have a great day.